You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Friday. Meat Friday at that. I don't know what we have on the Traeger grill out there. Have you checked, Paulie?
Some type of braised chicken.
Huh. I like it. As soon as I pulled in the parking lot today, the Traeger was fired up, and I was like, yes, it's a Friday here. And it gives you that feel of like tailgating a football season. We'll talk to Todd Gurley. He'll join us coming up here in a moment. Blazers, Grizzlies, they are going to compete for the final spot in the West and the right to face the Lakers. They will meet on Saturday. Grizzlies have to win two. Blazers only have to win one. Mark Emmert, the NCAA president, appears, says no championships for fall NCAA sports. But understand this, the NCAA has no jurisdiction over college football. They don't hand out an NCAA trophy. They hand out that crystal football. That's not an NCAA championship. But what I was told is keep an eye on what the NCAA is going to try to do with the bubble teams in basketball. Can you bubbleize March Madness? That's what they're going to be trying to do. 877-3DP show, email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP show. I believe a three-sport athlete in high school, football, basketball, and track. Todd Gurley joins us with a Phillies hat on. What are you doing with a Phillies hat on?
Oh, it matched my outfit. I got a Bart Simpson shirt on. My question is, y'all got any lamb chops over there on that Traeger grill?
We can make some. Are you?
It's a great option.
Are you a griller?
Yeah, I love the grill.
All right. Do you have a go-to?
Probably lamb chop, pork chop.
Nice.
Beyond Burgers. Rotwurst.
So everything. Let me see your shirt. Let me see your shirt. Can you tilt down and?
I don't know how I do it. It's like a little Bart Simpson shirt.
Oh, okay. So the only reason why you have the hat on is it matches Bart Simpson. I like that.
I got love for Philly too, the city of brotherly love. So
yeah, but you grew up in Maryland, or born in Maryland, grew up in North Carolina.
Yeah, and I got the Orioles tatted on me, but. Sometimes they make me just so angry, man.
Wait, you have an Orioles tattoo?
Yeah.
Where is it?
It's like my stomach, that area.
Is that one of those tattoos you regret?
They're making me regret it.
But if they win the World Series, you're going to be the first to say, look at my tattoo here.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. It's hard. It's hard, though, with the Yankees, the Red Sox, like, you know, trying to compete with those guys as well.
Yeah, it's like trying to compete with the Patriots.
Yeah, basically.
Did you get any grief when you wished Tom Brady a happy birthday a couple of years ago? Didn't you have an actual goat?
Oh, yeah. Well, because we share the same birthday, and it's just like, you know, it's Tom Brady's birthday, basically, and then mine's like second.
So when they say famous people born on this day, it's Tom Brady, and then it gets to you right after that?
Nah, just Tom Brady and then everybody else.
I noticed that you're selling your house in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah.
Now, you bought that from Taylor Lautner? Is that the Twilight guy?
Oh, no. Yeah, I bought that house from him, but I'm selling my place that I was in when I was playing in Los Angeles.
Okay.
So anybody want to buy a house, you know, 5-bedroom, 6-bath, y'all let me know.
But did you meet Taylor Lautner when you bought
that?
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Pretty cool dude.
Did he know who you were?
Yeah, he's a Saints fan, though, so you know how that goes now.
So he didn't give you a discount?
Just a little bit.
So how weird is it that, you know, you're trying to get ready for that football season? It's 4 weeks from last night.
Yeah.
Like, what's your day like? What is a normal day like at training camp?
I mean, I keep telling people it's really not training camp. Like, training camp is when we used to wake up and get at to the facility at 8 a.m. and we was in it at 8 or 9. Now it's like, you know, virtual meetings in the dorm rooms or, you know, at the house. So it's a lot easier than it was. You know, I'm not going to complain being a vet in this league, but I mean, really just come in the building. You know, you do an hour of meetings. Well, right now we're starting practice Then right after practice, you get lunch, recovery, and then we'll start meetings for about two to three hours. And then after that, we'll do the walkthrough. And then our day is pretty much over with around about 6 o'clock. So it could always be worse. That's why I'm not complaining. I've been through the long days of training camp for 2-3 weeks.
How tough is it going to be for the rookies, though, Todd?
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be a lot tougher for them just far as getting the opportunity to make the team. But not only that, you know, when it's time to play, it's going to be very difficult. But that's when we got to do a good job of getting those guys ready in practice every day, you know, showing them full speed reps, because once things amp up, it gets going pretty fast. So just trying to tell them, you know, just control what you can control. It's a tough situation for everybody, and everybody kind of got to be on the same page right now. But just keep inspiring them and just giving them knowledge.
What is why the Falcons?
It was just the right fit for me. You know, I feel like same style of offense. Obviously, you know, they have a great offense. And then, you know, Coach John Quinn, he's heard tremendous great things about him. I felt like, you know, this system, the brotherhood kind of fit me, you know, talking with Julio. Obviously, wanting to play with a great receiver like that, guys like Ridley, Russ. And then, you know, we had a younger running back room, so it was time for me to go in and be able to share my knowledge as well, get those guys ready for when I'm not here and those guys ready for the future. But, and then, I mean, I play here at Georgia, man, University of Georgia Bulldog, now Atlanta Falcon. Can't really name too many Bulldogs that went and did that, so it's kind of like – It's a blessing.
How competitive was practice? So you have Sony Michel, Nick Chubb, and you at Georgia. Damn.
Yeah. It was great. I feel like our running back coach McClendon on BMAC, he gave us a lot of good, you know, words of encouragement, a lot of good coaching, but he showed us how to practice. I know that's one thing about the NFL. It's really about practice. Game day is going to take care of itself. I felt like we did a good job. I did a good job of setting that standard. And then, obviously, you see what those guys did when I left. You know, they broke all the records. And, you know, hats off to those guys. They led Georgia to a national championship. Didn't get it done, but, you know, they did things beyond what I was able to do. So, can't be do nothing but be proud of those guys. You got Chubb, number two in rushing last year. Sony, Super Bowl champion. So, you know, it's just good to see the young guys, you know, get their shine on.
He's Todd Gurley of the Atlanta Falcons joining us, Dan Patrick Show. You were in that Gatorade commercial with Zion and Bryce Harper. Did you get to hang out with those guys?
No, we all did it at our house. So I did it at my house in California. And then I guess Bryce did his maybe in Florida or Philly. And then Zion did his in New Orleans. So it was like a kind of like this meeting right here. It was like a Zoom shoot.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's good. I was impressed with that. How long does it take before you move on past the Super Bowl loss?
I really try not to think about it too much. It's long gone. You know, I don't really talk about it until like people ask me. So it's still difficult to think about, but you know, it kind of is what it is.
Yeah, but and then you go to a city like Atlanta where they don't want to talk about their Super Bowl appearance either.
But it's so funny. You know, we got a lot in common. It's just like I can relate to them. So, no other team I would want to be back with or be with than the Falcons, so we can get our payback for sure.
How's your health? How are the knees?
It's been good, man. I've been feeling good. The recovery time has been great. You know, obviously been on the same plan that I've been on since I came into the league, you know, going to have a couple off days during camp or whatnot, but I've been feeling good, just kind of taking it day by day. Got a good strength coach over here, Marty and his staff. So it's been good, man. I can't complain, you know, just chucking away day by day.
Yeah, I don't know if you have a chip on your shoulder. But if you do, I certainly understand it, because it feels like you're only 26, I think. I mean, it feels like people have moved on from Todd Gurley. Do you feel that?
It's just part of the NFL, especially with the running back position. It's kind of like we just die overnight. It's just like, oh, he don't have it anymore. You know, that's kind of one thing. I feel like they tend to do a lot with the running backs, but I know what I've done in this league. I know everything I'm capable of. I don't really try to go out my way to prove anything to anyone. I hear everything, but at the end of the day, I know who I am as a player. But more as a teammate, you know, when you start letting the outside noise get to you and you start bringing it to that locker room, you know, your teammates or your coaches are questionable, then that makes it a lot bigger. As long as I can control what I control, just try to be positive every day and just go out to practice and work. You know, that's all I can do. So it's kind of like the norm for me now. You know, I've been hearing it over the last couple of years, and I don't really want to say chip, but, you know, it's definitely, you know, I just want to go out there. Everybody want to go ball.
Well, I'm looking at these numbers. The 5 years, yeah. First 5 years, 70 total touchdowns. You got 58 rushing, 12 receiving. That's tied for fourth most in NFL history by any player over his first five seasons. So LaDainian Tomlinson is one. Yeah. Emmitt Smith, two. Sean Alexander, who played with the Seahawks. Then Jerry Rice. You're tied with Jerry Rice for touchdowns over the first 5 years of your NFL career. That's pretty good company that you're in there, Ton.
Yeah, it's a blessing. And I went down a bunch of touchdowns, too. So could be top three. But like I said, it's a blessing. Like, I know what I've done in this league, but it doesn't really matter. This league is about what you can do week in and week out. It's not about what you've done in the past or what you're going to do in the future. You have to be able to prove it. That's why you know, you see guys like Tom Brady, who's been consistent for years. You know, he's going on his 19th year. And, you know, everyone's going to have a down year. But, like, when you just set the standard so high, what I've been able to do, you know, these last 5 years, it's like, you know, people expect more. And I expect more out of myself as well. So, you know, it comes with the territory. You just got to keep working hard. And just
and now you get to see Brady twice a year now.
Yeah.
Be careful what you ask for there. You get to, you know.
I'm not asking for anything. I just wanted to be a great game. But it's gonna be different, but it's gonna be fun. I'm excited. It's a new division for me. A lot of new talent. I've been able to play against New Orleans basically every year since I came in the league, and you know, played against Tampa a couple times, played against Carolina, played against the Falcons. So. I mean, I'm excited.
Did you feel bad at all for the Saints when that bad call in the Superdome?
No, not at all. Why would I ever feel bad?
I don't know. Because you know that you guys got a gift there.
Hey.
You can admit it now. You're not with the Rams.
Hey, the call was the call. And it was a no call.
Did you watch Hard Knocks? With the Rams, with Coach McVay had his shirt off. Did you see that?
Nah, I was watching the Chargers, man. My boy Melvin Ingram out. I heard he got a new song that dropped, so I've been just checking them guys out.
Oh, so you watched the Chargers part of Hard Knocks? You didn't watch the Rams?
Yeah, I take like a restroom break when the Rams.
Did McVay take his shirt off a lot during practice?
Nah, I ain't never seen that. He acting totally different now.
For TV, that's probably why.
But did he look big at least? Was he swole?
Yeah, I guess. He's yoked up a little bit.
Give him some credit. He works hard, though. He'd be working out. He definitely work out.
Hey, it's great to catch up with you. And have fun there in Atlanta. And thanks for joining us. We appreciate your time, Todd.
All right, y'all. Be safe. Appreciate it.
Thank you. That's Todd Gurley. The Atlanta Falcons running back joining us with a Phillies hat on. Dan Hicks from NBC Sports will join us coming up. That controversy yesterday during the U.S. amateur golf event. Crazy. Never seen anything like that before in my life. And Dan's done a lot of golf. I don't think he's ever seen anything like that either. Todd Gurley was fun. Came out firing there. Got his Bart Simpson shirt on, Phillies hat. Yes, McLovin.
I'm considering him a Phillies fan now. We need all the help we can get.
Oh, you're going to take it. Oh, okay. by proxy. This program brought to you by Mercedes-AMG. Be prepared for whatever comes your way. It's the all-new GT four-door coupe, because life is a race. Visit your local dealership for a test drive today. If you missed any interview on this program from the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, go to danpatrick.com. Watch and listen from inside the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave. Mercedes-AMG, driving performance. We'll take a break. We'll get to your phone calls coming up, and Dan Hicks from NBC Golf will join us coming up next here, 17 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. It's tough to hire somebody now. It's tough to be applying for a job now with everything that's going on and all the changes. But there is one place you can go where hiring is really simple. It's fast. It's smart. It's a place where businesses go to connect with qualified candidates, and that's ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. You leave the hiring to one place that makes finding qualified candidates fast and easy. And this is the best place. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job sites. And then they don't stop there. They have powerful matching technology. ZipRecruiter will scan thousands of resumes, find people with the right experience, and actively invite them to apply for your job. And they make the hiring process efficient, effective. Features like screening questions to filter candidates, all in one dashboard where you can review and rate your candidates. So effective. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter. Try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com, or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. My guy Mookie Betts quietly hit 3 home runs last night. So he has 6 career 3 home run games. And he did it in career game number 813. And that game was played on 813 last night. How about that? Wait, I got nothing out of you guys? I get crickets? Betts has had his 6 3 home run games all have come since 2016. No player has more than 2 games with 3 or more home runs.
813.
Yeah. Game number 813 on 813. He hits 3. Never mind.
Same month, same day?
Same month, That's, same day.
I love that numerology stuff.
NBC Sports host Dan Hicks at Bandon Dunes in Oregon this week, calling play-by-play coverage on Golf Channel, the 120th U.S. Amateur. Live coverage continues tonight, and I was watching last night, and I saw something, Danny, that I had never seen before. I go, that caddy is in the bunker, and he's got his hand in the sand. How would you describe, what was your reaction when you saw that?
So even a golfer like you, Dan, would recognize that immediately. That's just fundamental stuff. And so when he got down there almost on his hands and knees in the sand, it kind of, because Bones, who was out there with the group, actually gave us a little sense of what might happen, because he was talking about how the sand of the bunker was really windswept, really thin. And so that kind of prefaced the whole thing. And when he got in there, it was just, you've got all these crazy rules of golf, right? We're trying to figure them out. They change the vernacular. They change the rules seemingly every year now with intent and all that. But this was a no-brainer. It was shocking.
But I don't know how much experience this caddy had. This is the U.S. amateur. Is he normally carrying a bag here?
So what we've understood since this, there was a little bit of, there was some commentary flying around on social media last night between the regular Bandon caddies that have been here a long time. And apparently he is a first year Bandon caddy.
Oh,
that are happening here. Some of the regular caddies.
Hey, Danny, let me hold on.
Have been at Bandon Dunes shows. Yes.
Let me put you on the phone because you're breaking up a little bit. So we'll try to get a better connection. Just have you on the phone instead of Zoom there. Yeah, Paul.
I got a question, Dan. If you were, you know much more about golf etiquette than I do. Let's say you're in the amateur championships. This is a very competitive thing. And you're the caddy for the golfer who is doing it, on one side of it, final hole. And you noticed another caddy brush the sand, and you knew it was a rule violation. Would you hope that the the officials noticed it, or would you report it to the official in the middle of the round? How would that work, do you think? You're competitive.
Well, I would hope that the rules official would notice it. But if not, then you have to do a service to the sport, because you police yourself. But I would think that, you know, the other caddy, he's the one that said, he was really adamant. He's the one that's saying, he touched the sand. Look, you don't want to win that way, but I can't let you win that way. So I would have to call you on that. I just think that golf is different. Now, normally the players are really good at policing themselves and calling a penalty on themselves. Yes, Steve.
You know what's funny about that, though, is that in football, right, if an offensive lineman moves early, everybody points at the guy. He did, right there, he did. Or the defensive line, offensive line, whatever, they're all pointing. Right there, him. But for some reason in golf, it would be seen as being a bad sport.
I didn't take it that way, because this guy was lying. He's saying, I didn't touch the sand. I didn't touch the sand. And the other caddy's going, yeah, you did.
Yep, we all saw it. Yeah. And all of a sudden, what makes it even worse, you talked about it afterwards.
I know.
Yeah, guy was so heated. Oh, he was so mad.
I know. It was, and it's live. It's happening there. I've never played Bandon Dunes, but it's a really, really challenging course. It's a beautiful area there, but it's just, they have golf there at Bandon Dunes. Let me bring back Dan Hicks. So the caddy, Dan, he's relatively new there at Bandon Dunes?
Yeah, he's apparently he is a first-year caddy at Bandon Dunes. And apparently in this COVID protocol situation that they have here, you have to take a couple of tests, COVID tests, before you get inside the bubble, and you're then able to caddy for, you know, one of the participants in this U.S. Amateur. So a lot of the longer-term caddies here at Bandon Dunes chose to stay out of the bubble and continue caddying at the other courses that are here at Bandon Dunes. So this guy, you know, wanted to, you know, be a part of the U.S. Amateur and ended up, connecting with Segundo Oliva Pinto of Argentina, and that's how he ended up, you know, on the bag. And it was the crazy thing is that Pinto posted last night on his Instagram story, hey, he's a good friend, it could happen to anyone, and hashtag no one's fault. So it's amazing how Pinto has continued to have this caddy's back, even though, and I think it's fine. I think Pinto took the high road here. You don't want to throw anybody under the bus. But at the same time, you know, my issue is that the guy just flat out, you know, didn't tell the truth. And I think that was clear from the video. And everybody that was there on the ground, including Tyler Strafacci's dad, Frank, who got a little bit in the situation there, said, and he clearly, you know, saw him do it and all that. So that's indefensible, not telling the truth. But it is interesting how Pinto decided to take the high road. I mean, this could have changed Pinto's life. He's from Argentina, obviously plays his college golf in the United States. But, you know, now he has no shot to be the U.S. Amateur champion, which is the biggest, you know, most prestigious amateur championship in the world. So I had never seen anything like that happen, especially when a caddy makes the mistake. It was just a first timer for all of us.
So dad got involved afterwards?
This is, I talk about Tyler, his opponent, Tyler Strafacci's dad.
Yeah.
If you watch the telecast last night, he comes in, and when Pinto and the caddy, Brant Brewer is his name, are talking to the official there, Tyler's dad, who's caddying for Tyler, the kid who's competing against him, said, hey, you know, I saw what you did. You clearly touched the sand. And he got in there in defense of his kid as to what the opponent was doing. So, you know, it had a little bit of everything. You never know. You know, these U.S. amateurs are a little bit like the Olympics. You know you're going to have drama before you get into them. But you never know exactly what kind of drama. So it was unprecedented as far as what we've seen happen.
But about etiquette, and golfers are really good, you know, most 99.9% are really good at policing themselves. But in this situation, what is the etiquette when the caddy of the opposing player is the one who's ratting you out on TV?
Well, in this case, it was we saw the video. It wasn't like the caddy of the opposing player. I mean, he wanted to get his you know, he wanted to fill in more information to the officials that really didn't need his take, Frank Serfacci, and, you know, they come from a long lineage of golfers dating back to his grandfather, who, you know, won all these championships back in the 30s. And anyway, what was interesting, if you saw the video, Pinto is clearly didn't see it. I do believe that he did not see his caddy, Brant Brewer, in this case, test the sand, because there's this shot that we had of him just kind of looking over what kind of shot he was going to play on the edge of the bunker, but he wasn't looking at the time that Brewer had his hands on the sand and was scraping around. So, you know, it was terribly unfortunate. I feel so bad for Pinto, but I just think the dynamic of him taking the high road is pretty amazing when this caddy cost him a chance at this championship.
But also the overhead shot, Dan, was just awesome to have that video where...
Oh, yep. Yep, that was the real clincher, to have that unquestionable video. I mean, you know, I immediately started thinking, it's crazy, this game and all these shows we do, I immediately started thinking of Patrick Reed in the Bahamas, you know, last year with his sand controversy, brushing the sand back, which he was penalized for, but, you know, denied that he could feel pushing the sand back or saw him pushing the sand, saw his club pushing the sand back. So in this case... It was so clear that it was surprising to hear the caddy say he didn't do it. So it was pretty clear cut.
We had Colin Morikawa on after he won the PGA Championship, and you talk about star power. I mean, his personality, his smile, likability, and he's not a bomber. You know, he said, I'm probably in the middle of the pack here, but he's only 23. I know we keep waiting for that next golfer, whether it was Spieth or Justin Thomas or Rory or whoever it's going to be, but what do you make of what you've seen from Colin Morikawa?
Yeah, you're right. We always tend to say, well, you know, this guy's got it all. You know, when Spieth was doing it, and Spieth did have it all for a time. He borrowed it for a while, so to speak, which is the popular saying in golf. But by all accounts, and I've had a chance for a couple of quick visits with Colin Morikawa, he is so impressive. And we have Steve Burkowski that is with us at this U.S. Amateur, who lives and breathes college amateur golf and who's known Colin Morikawa for a long, long time. And he told me yesterday, we were talking about this very thing, he said Colin Morikawa is singly undisputed most impressive young player that he's ever come across, as far as having the entire package, the wherewithal, the demeanor, the skill set, the entire package to be what we think is going to be maybe one of the more impressive careers. Maybe he'll end up being even more impressive than Spieth in the end, or Justin Thomas. I mean, those guys are, you know, already have a head start on him, but I don't think it's hype to say that Colin Morikawa is going to have a star-studded career.
Now, are you rooting for just a normal broadcast, you know, the next round here, or what do you want, Dan? What are you rooting for?
Hey, I'm all for the drama, you know. We're getting down. We have eight guys left, and we are commercial free, if you haven't noticed, and so we've got plenty of time for drama. So let's bring it out. Let's see something today that we've never seen, like we saw last night. Right? I'm all for it. And you know, after a while, you kind of run out of bio notes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's fun though. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. These kids are great. This has always been one of my favorite tournaments to do because you know it is so intimate. There's no ropes and. Not that you have to worry about that now with no spectators, but it always has been a favorite of mine. And we get to the weekend, these guys are playing for a chance to get an invite to the Masters and the U.S. Open and the Open Championship. So it gets really good, especially on the weekend.
Have fun, Dan. Thanks. We'll be watching.
All right. I'll keep the sand out of my eyes here in Bandon. I'll do my best.
All right. That's Dan Hicks, NBC Sports. At Bandon Dunes, that's the 120th U.S. Amateur. Live coverage continues tonight, airing exclusively on Peacock from 6 to 7 Eastern, continuing on Golf Channel from 7 to 9. Also, coverage over the weekend on Saturday and Sunday. Yeah, Paulie?
I didn't know until Dan Hicks said that one of the other guys out on the course yelling was the other golfer's father.
Who was caddying for him.
Yes. And how funny would that be? Like, you don't see that in the Masters. Like, dad wouldn't be running out there complaining about a rules official.
Well, you used to have Matt Kuchar's dad was his caddy for a while. And he would rub some golfers the wrong way when he'd be like openly rooting for his son when he'd have, yes, you know, and then like golfers don't want to hear that from the caddy. Remember when Stevie Williams talked about how many majors have you won? And he said the number that Tiger had. And we're like, no, you didn't win those majors. You carried the bag, but you didn't win those. I got 14 majors. Then we had Bones on. We had Mickelson's caddy on. I said, how many majors have you won? He goes, none. Phil won them all. A couple of phone calls in here, and then we'll take a break. Jesse in Los Angeles. Hey, Jess, what do you have for me?
Hey, DP. Happy Positivity Friday.
Thank you.
Great interview with Coach Edwards. That was phenomenal.
It was a lot of fun.
Hey, so you and the boys have put me onto some great music over the years, some tracks like the Mary J. Blige and U2 track, and my favorite one that you put me on was the Tom Petty and Prince George Harrison tribute, so I thought I'd try to return the favor.
Okay.
There's a performance on YouTube by the band Heart, and it's with John Bonham's son on drums, Jason Bonham. I don't know if you've seen it. They're playing Stairway to Heaven with the rest of Led Zeppelin in the crowd. It's so good, it brings tears to their eyes. I highly suggest looking it up.
I've heard about it.
For you.
Yeah, and Ann Wilson can get there where Robert Plant used to get.
Yeah, yeah. And my question for you, if look it up, but my question for you is, are you more of a Outer Banks guy or Twilight?
Outer Banks, not Twilight. but thank you, Jess. I haven't seen Twilight. Nobody believes me. I just know who the characters are.
That was well done.
It was. Obviously, I'm an Outer Banks guy. John B., get out of here. Season 2, green lit. Yes, Paul.
Dan, I don't know if I could back on this.
I've never seen Twilight.
Dan, remember at the Super Bowl in Miami, we did the Beach Bowl, and you had Taylor Lautner as a guest.
His dad was a fan of mine.
Uh-huh. You and Kay Frey were sitting there chopping up with Taylor Lautner.
No, Taylor Lautner agreed to do the interview because his dad said, you want to go do the interview with Dan Patrick. I didn't know. I told my daughters, and they're like, well, you had Taylor Lautner on. I go, yeah, I haven't seen Twilight.
So what was that selfie all about before he left, if you weren't such a fan of the
That was for my daughters. Okay. I did a selfie with Harry Styles. That was for the kids.
That's true.
It's always about the kids. Yes, Eden.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Yes, McLovin.
Now I know you're lying. The Harry Styles thing you didn't stop bragging about for weeks.
I know, that was for me.
You woke me up. You're like, have you checked your text yet? You sent the text?
No. My daughter got a hold of me within 20 seconds, calling me. So I sent it out on the family text. She called me within 20 seconds. And she doesn't say, hey, Dad, hi. Where is he? I go, he walked away. Well, go get him. I said, Georgia, no.
Where is he?
Is he with the girl? I go, no, he's by himself. He's by himself? And I go, yeah, I'm not going to go bother him anymore. She goes, Dad, like, what do you want me to do? You're in New York and he's in Florida. It's not happening. We'll take a break here. Last call for phone calls, what we learn, what's in store on Monday. And if you're watching on YouTube.com/The Dan Patrick Show, we will take our lunch off the Traeger Grill coming up next. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. Sports are finally back, which means it's Traeger time. And man, this meat that we just pulled off the Traeger Grill is awesome. You can pick up your Traeger today at a local dealer. Visit TraegerGrills.com/DP Show to get cooking. I was going to give a shout out to Paul Westfall, the former NBA player and coach, has brain cancer. I didn't think I could get in all the information I wanted to get in during the intro to the Arcade Fire song, but I've known Paul for a long, long time. And I got that information. It was a couple of weeks ago I'd heard about it, but I waited till it went public. But Paul Westfall, who was a wonderful player in college at USC with the Celtics, Phoenix Suns, and coached in the NBA as well, but he has brain cancer. So terrible news to hear. Did want to provide a shout out. Dr. Robert Weichmann, I believe is how we pronounce it. His daughter Laura said, can you give my dad a shout out? It's his 60th birthday today. Diehard Dan Patrick Show fan. He will watch, listen every day, despite being a busy heart surgeon. And so it would mean the world if you could give him a shout out. You're a great daughter, Laura. And happy birthday, Doc. Final results of the poll question there, McLevin.
Who would you buy stock in, the Suns or the Pelicans? It actually went 51% Suns.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to find out what's going to happen with the Pelicans in the offseason. You know, they're going to change. You know, there's a chance Mike D'Antoni could end up coaching the Pelicans. There's a chance if he gets fired in Houston. Yes, McLevin.
Are you going to have your annual 8-9 play-in seed game watch party?
Yes, but it'll be just me in my basement with the cat. That's it. My kids just do a drive-by because there's a refrigerator in the basement where they'll go in and get something to drink, and they'll just stop by, and then hopefully they don't ask too many questions. Usually you'll get, who's playing? Is this important? When I get, is this important? I go, they're all important. Yes, McLevin.
Is Grizzlies Blazers enough to get us out of doing family stuff on Saturday afternoon?
Probably not. But try it, but probably not. Joe Kelly, the Dodgers pitcher, he was on the Big Swing podcast, and he is still upset with Major League Baseball's investigation of the Astros.
The people that took the fall for what happened is nonsense. Yes, everyone's involved. But the way that thing was ran over there was not from coaching staff. It was ran with coaching staff, yes, don't get me wrong. But they're not the head boss in charge of that thing. It's the players. So now the players get the immunity, and all they do is go snitch like a little and they don't have to get fined. They don't have to lose games.
That Joe Kelly, of course, was suspended for throwing at the Astros. Didn't hit anybody, but got suspended for throwing at the Astros. Now, you know, when the Oakland A's, they had that bench clearing brawl there, the situation there with the Astros. And then you had the bench coach who was chirping. And then you had the player who came over and, you know, bench coach, I said I would have suspended him the rest of the regular season. Well, they sat him down for 20 games. And then I have a friend who said, well, you know why the Astros pitchers were throwing at the Oakland A's? And I go, no, because their former teammate, Mike Fiers, is the guy who was the whistleblower on the Astros who plays for the Oakland A's. And I go, oh, my God, I don't understand these unwritten rules of baseball. That guy ratted on the Astros, cheating to win a World Series, so we're going to hit some of his teammates. Cowardly. That guy had nothing to do with this, and you're going to plunk him a couple of times in that series. Astros, take your medicine, man, and move on. Because, you know, win a World Series this year. But, man, are you cowards. Anybody, when you throw a baseball at somebody, unless you're throwing it in their back, buttocks, lower part of their, you know, body, and they know they're getting hit, that, okay, I understand it. It's a stupid, unwritten rule. I understand it. But when pitchers don't have to come to the plate, I think you're a coward. I got a ball I can throw 100 miles an hour. And you know what? You at the plate, you can't get me. Why don't they let the hitters throw their bat at the pitcher? I mean, it's a weapon. But, you know, if that's true that the Astros were throwing at the Oakland A's because of their former teammate Mike Fiers, I mean, it makes sense. But, man, do I think you're cowards. This day in sports history.
Good one, Dan. 1977, the New York Cosmos and the Fort Lauderdale Strikes played in front of 77,000 fans at the Meadowlands in New Jersey. The Cosmos at the time had...
Oh, Pelé!
Yep, Pelé, Franz Beckenbauer, and Giorgio Canalia.
Wasn't Giorgio Canalia, wasn't he a playboy? Wasn't he
a... Yes, a player.
Was that him?
Yeah, Canalia played, I think, for Napoli in Italy. He actually got arrested for a few different things, had to leave the country and play for the New York Cosmos. I worked at...
Wait. He got arrested for a couple of things? A
couple of different things.
Okay.
I don't want to, you know, bury the man's grave. You know, he's passed away.
Yeah.
I got to know him a little bit when I worked at Sirius. He was fascinating, the stories he would tell us.
I think that You know, that's he's legendary, not necessarily on the pitch.
Yeah, Giorgio Canalia is a legend.
Anything else on this day in sports history?
That's it.
That's it? All right. Let me see. Kyle in California. Hi, Kyle. What's on your mind?
Hey, DP. You know, the Astros controversy, very similar to the Twilight vampire baseball controversy. I know you. I'll let you do a deep dive on that one next week. Anyway, hey, listening to the man.
I have never watched Twilight, okay?
Take it to your grave. We know. We all know.
I haven't watched it all the way through. That's what I mean to say. All right, go ahead, Kyle. I'm sorry.
No worries. But the kind of the media on just in general thinking the Clippers are going to waltz right by the Mavs and the Lakers are going to struggle with this fuming Blazers team, it just doesn't make sense to me. You know, the Mavs are a lot like the Lakers, kind of. They got KP, who's a lot like AD. I don't know who's going to stop him. Luka, budding star. You know, I think they're going to have a lot more trouble with the Mavs. That's going to be a longer series than the Lakers-Blazers. That's what I think.
All right. Well, thank you, Kyle. I've said it before that, you know, we keep – because the Lakers are involved – that we're wondering, oh, can Portland upset the Lakers? Nobody's talking about the Mavs possibly beating the Clippers. And the Mavs have a formidable, you know, they have two really good players in Porzingis and Luka there. And maybe that's not enough, but what's Portland have? Maybe two really good players right now. They have a better team, I think, than Dallas does. But can Dallas upset the Clippers? You'd never know it. Because nobody, you know, has given any indication that that could possibly happen. Happy birthday also to Magic Johnson. Turned 61. Magic 61. I remember when he was a rookie. Came in. Had one of the great NBA Finals games of all time. All right, let's go around the room. What we learned on the program. I'm going to start back left with Todd Fritz.
Todd Gurley watches the Chargers portion of Hard Knocks and takes a bathroom break when they go to the Rams.
McLovin.
Herm Edwards has a little Miracle of the Meadowlands doll of himself.
Yeah, that was a great appearance by Herm. Seton O'Connor.
Herm Edwards has energy.
Yes, he does. Paulie?
I'll bet you Herm Edwards is a great recruiter in the living room.
If you missed that interview, you can always go to danpatrick.com. Herm Edwards was a whole lot of fun today. What did I learn, Todd?
Chris Mannix predicting Raptors-Clippers in the NBA Finals.
What we learned brought to you by LegalZoom. They have a network of independent attorneys providing advice when you need it. And since LegalZoom isn't a law firm, you don't have to leave your home. Visit LegalZoom.com today for more information. Thanks for joining us. Everybody listening, watching, those on chat row. Thank you. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday. Seton, Paulie, Fritzy, and McLovin, yours truly, Dan Patrick Show. Oh, one more item here as we close out this Meet Friday. These earbuds are great. Everyday E25 earbuds from Raycon. These earbuds start at about half the price of the other premium wireless earbuds on the market. And they sound just as amazing as other top audio brands that you know. You get 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, compact design, gives you that nice noise isolating fit. And they're comfortable. Perfect for conference calls, binging podcasts, video chats. Raycon earbuds, they're stylish, discreet, no dangling wires or stems. You've heard me talk about these wireless earbuds. Snoop Dogg and Cardi B swear by them as well. You can get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/Patrick. These earbuds, once again, about half the price of the other premium wireless earbuds, and you're going to get 15% off that already low price. So buyraycon.com/Patrick for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. Once again, it's buyraycon, RAYCON.com/Patrick.